Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis, approximately 15 lines up from the bottom, and we're still involved in the study of all these statements of Rav Yossi. On Rav Yossi, Chamesh Be'ilos Ba'alti Vishanisi. On five occasions, I had Be'ila with my wife, and I repeated Be'ila. And this is based on a Gemara in Erevin that says that if you want to have male children, then you perform the marital act and then you repeat it. Omrav Yossi, Miyomai lo karasi li'ishti ishti ulishori shori, el li'ishti besi ulishori sadai. Omrav Yossi, Miyomai lo nistakalti b'mila shali. Now, on this question, on this issue of Chamesh Be'ilos Ba'alti, so it says, Gemara establishes the names of five of his sons who were Natati, he says, I planted Chamisha Rozen B'Yisrael. I planted five cedars within the Jewish people, in other words, five greats. And all of these greats were considered like a rosin. So the Gemara asks, Uman Inu, who are these five? Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chalafta Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Avtilas Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara asks, Va'ika Vardimas, there's another son of Rabbi Yossi. Vardimas, what happened to him? He's not on the list. Hainu Vardimas, Hainu Menachem. We mentioned the last of the five was Menachem Rabbi Yossi, and he is none other than Vardimas. Vamai Korile Vardimas, why did they give him this very strange name, Vardimas? Sheponov Domim Leveret. So it's interesting that the shorish of this word is in Lashon Kodesh. It sounds like Greek or Roman. But Vardimas means his face is like a veret. He had the countenance of a rose. I guess he had a reddish complexion. And perhaps on a more philosophical level, it means that he had a certain kind of countenance that was so beautiful that it showed his spiritual uniqueness. So the Gemara asks, "Lemeimar de Rabbi Yossi mitzvos ona lo kiyem." Notice it says five be'ilos. I mean, only on five occasions he had a relationship with his wife. After all, the Torah sets up certain minimum guidelines in terms of a person's obligation within marriage. That's called the mitzvah of ona. So where did the mitzvah of Ona get lost over here? And the Gemara answers, Ela Ema Chamesh Bilos Ba'alti Vishanisi, as we said before when we started, that he doubled over the Be'ila in order to be Zochet to have Banim Zecharim. Then we mentioned earlier that Rabbi Yossi called his wife Basi, not just Sadai. His shar he called Sadai because his shar was the ikar of his Sada. I guess his ox was responsible for his Sada. And his wife built a home. She's not just a wife, she builds the home. The home is created by the wife. And if it functions properly, it's because of the wife. She's responsible for everything. And that means both physical and spiritual. And then Rabbi Yossi says that he never gazed at his mila, his mokum mila. And, you know, that seems like a very extreme kind of, perhaps, mida of anova, of tznius. And the Gemara now is going to compare this to a statement of Rebbe. Va'amule l'Rebbe, my time akaru lach Rabbeinu HaKadosh Amalo miyomei lo estakalti v'mila shali. I guess the Gemara's kasha is, you know, why is Rebbe called Rabbeinu HaKadosh and Rav Yossi is not called Rav Yossi HaKadosh? They both should have merited not only Rebbe, but even Rav Yossi should have merited that title of HaKadosh. So my answer is, B'Rebbe milsach rita havibay shelo hichnis yodo tachas avneto. That Rebbe went even a step further, that he's called Rabbeinu HaKadosh because he never placed his hand below the belt. So I guess that's an extra precaution that he took. Mina avneit ulamata. So Maisav Shal Rav Yossi Hoyu Machmas Tznius, Maisav Shal Rabbeinu HaKadosh Hoyu Mishum Hira Avera V'lachenik HaKadosh Ki B'chol Mokom Shetimtza Geder Erva Nemar Bo Geder Kedusha. Now it's interesting that they asked Rebbe why they called him Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And he answered because lo nistakel b'mila. Why didn't he answer because lo hichnis yoro tachas avneto, which is really the reason? So it could be that Rebbe didn't want to publicize his chasidus yisera. So therefore he lowered it down. He lowered the profile. He said lo nistakel b'mila. That's a dovar shegam eitzel Rav Yossi. You know, he's not the only one, but the other madrig of Chassidus, that's unique to Rebbe, but he didn't want to publicize that. The Yom Rav Yossi, Miyomai lo koru, lo ro, koras besi, imre, chaluki. The walls of my house never saw the seams of my chaluk, of my cloak. Now what that means is when a person takes his cloak off, he usually grabs the bottom edge, lifts it over his head, and the inside seams now are visible to the walls of the house because he turns it upside down to get it over his head. However, let's say he's going to sleep at night and he takes off his clothes and he pulls them over his head, then for at least a small gap of time before he covers himself under the covers, his body is exposed. Rav Yossi's tznius was even more extreme. He was so modest. He would sit in his bed with his cloak on, first cover himself, and then slide the tunic up over his head, so he never actually turned it inside down. V'yomar Rav Yossi, miyomai lo avarti al divrei chaveri. Whatever my colleagues would tell me to do, I did. Im omrimli chaverai, even if my friends would tell me, al leila duchan, go up as if you were a kohen to duchan, and I'm not a kohen, ani ola, I would go up, and I would perform the birkas kohenim, even though I'm not a kohen, but all for the sake of shalo lavar al divrei chaveri. Now, obviously, we got to figure out how could it be that Rav Yossi raises the possibility that he would duchen, and Tosfos Divrei Maskil Ilu raises this question as an iser of aliyas duchen for someone who's not a kohen. So what's the emphasis here that, I would have done it, but I didn't do it. I would have done it for the sake of not disappointing my friends. He says the following, that when it says in the parasha of Birchas Kohanim, just one second, Tosfos wants to know, is there an Isur on a Zar to be Ola Duchen? Okay, maybe it's a Brachal Vatola, but So it could be that Lekona Bilvad Amr Torah Levarach Es Yisrael, that the Torah gave this mitzvah to a Kohen, and for a non-Kohen to usurp this mitzvah would be prohibited. Okay, fine. Even if we would go up to recite the Birchas Kohanim, he would not have made a bracha of Yossi, because that would be a bracha of Atol. There's no chiyuv on a non-Yisrael, on a non-Kohen. But yet, there seems to be an Yisur for a Zar to be Nosius Kapov. So Masha writes that, according to Tosfos, in their understanding, Rabbi Yossi didn't really mean that he would be Mevarech Es Yisrael. He would only be Ola. And that's the language here, Im Omrim Li Chaveri Ale Leduchan. And that's why Tosfos wants to know, well, okay, fine, he's going to go up to Duchan, but he's not actually giving the bracha. What's the violation? And if you look in the Tosa Rosh, he writes that for sure Rabbi Yossi didn't have Kavana Lalos L'duchen, even Lalos L'duchen, because that also is an Iser. But rather he said Al Derech HaFloga, and it's sort of like an exaggeration he meant it. But he meant to say that even a Dover Gadol I would do if my Chaverim asked me. But this was just no question that he would not be Ol L'duchen, because that's not permitted. The Taz writes that even though Rabbi Yossi knew that he was not a Kohen, if his Chaverim would tell him, hey, you are a Kohen, then he would accept that, and he would go up to Duchen. The Tor Tmima says, based on Rabbi Yerucham, that Yodea ni be'atzmi she'eni kedai. In other words, not that I'm not a Kohen, but what he meant to say is I'm not kedai. So we're not talking about being Ole L'duchen of Kohanim, because clearly Rabbi Yossi was not in that category. That there was a certain location, a platform, where the greats of the Chachamim would present a drosha. And this is also called sort of like a Nesias Kapayim, because the Makom was Gavoa Ubolet, Kein Itzdeva. And Rabbi Yossi said that even though I'm humble, I don't want to darshan publicly, but if my friends would ask me to, I would do it because they asked. V'yomer Rabbi Yossi, v'yomer Elo Amarti, Dover Chazati Lachorai. Notice, I was never inhibited to say, well, I'm not going to say something about somebody, and if that somebody were here, I'd be inhibited to say it. Anything I said, and I would have said it in front of the person himself. So let's say the person would come back and say, well, Rabbi Yossi, I heard through the grapevine that you said this about me. And Rabbi Yossi says, I would never have to rescind or retract what I said. I said truth, and I hold by it. And Rabbi Yossi apparently holds that in such a case, that's not called Lashon Hara. Why? Because he's willing to tell the guy to his face that which he spoke about. Rabbi Yossi in Hilchas Lashon Hara is of the opinion that any Lashon Hara that you say, and you're willing to say it in front of the person about whom you said the Lashon Hara, that's not included in Lashon Hara. And the Chafetz Chaim in his book Hilchas Lashon Hara has a lengthy discussion about Rabbi Yossi. But basically it would seem that his opinion, Rabbi Yossi's opinion, was not accepted. Now the Gemara in Erchin says that Rabbi Yossi holds that Dover Shenirik Tzaske Lashon Hara, it looks a little bit with a shmek of Lashon Hara, but if you wouldn't have been inhibited to say that in front of the person about whom you're speaking, that's not considered Lashon Hara, and he's allowed to say it even Shalom Befanah. Rashi offers another pshat in the Gemara in Erchin that the intention of Rabbi Yossi was that he's not afraid sheyamod sham mi shediber alav. In other words, he doesn't have to turn around in order to check out. He's, you know, maybe the guy I'm speaking about is right here in the audience. Because Rabbi Yossi holds that anything that you'd be willing to say to his face, that's not Lashon Hara. The Chofetz Chaim writes, Shlo hitir Rabbi Yossi l'sapel Lashon Hara mamish, af be'ofen shoya omro b'fnei abaylim, ela kavanoso shediber sheyesh lo shtei mashmoyos, she'efsho lefarsho b'ofen sheinu gnai, ve'efsho lefarsho b'gnai, so ze toli bi ofen shemesapro shem yodeh biatzmo shoya omer af bifnei mi shedibro olav imkei muchach sho omro bi ofen sheino misparish lignai ubozeye yehe mutar. So just to summarize, based on the Gemara in Erchin, we're going to sort of reduce or cut down Rav Yossi's heter here. The Gemara is talking about a dover shenirek tzas kaloshen hara. And Rabbi Yossi maybe wouldn't be inhibited to say it in front of the person that he spoke about, because that's not Lashon Hara. And therefore he could say it even shalom b'fanav. However, it could be that Rabbi Yossi's intention is that he's not koshesh, that the person is there, because it makes no difference to him. He doesn't have to look around and see if he's in the audience. But the Chofetz Chaim writes that Rabbi Yossi was not matir to be mesapel Lashon Hara mamish, even in a situation where he wouldn't hesitate to say it in front of him. His intention was that it's something that has two mashmoiyot. You can understand it one way that it's gnai, one way that it's not a gnai. It all depends upon the way it would be said. Is then Rabbi Yossi knew that he would say it in a way that it was clear that he wasn't interested in gnai. Omer Rav Nachman. Now we go back to Sholosh Sudos. Tasily, I should receive schar de kiyamis sholosh sudos b'shabbos, because I was very meticulous about fulfilling the mitzvah of sholosh sudos on Shabbos. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, tasily de kiyamti iyum tefila. Now, it's my tefila was bekavanas halev. There are two types of iyum tefila. In the Gemara Brachas Lamed Beis, there's something that's negative and something that's positive. When the Gemara speaks about negative Iyun Tefillah, it's talking about someone who's waiting to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond to his petitions. That's not a good idea. But here we're talking about Kavana Salev. Omer Avuna Bered Rabbi Yeshua Teisili, I deserve a reward, the Lo Sagena Arba Amos B'Ligili Rosh. I never walked 4 Amos without covering my hair. And obviously, this Kisui Rosh is talking Shalom B'Shas HaTefillah. If it's B'Shas HaTefillah, that's not called Amidas Chasidus. Now, the truth is that according to the Darki Moshe in Orachaim Simon Beis, Kisui Rosh, even Shalom B'Shas HaTefillah, that's not Amidas Chasidus. And if you look in the Gemara Kiddushin on Daf Ches, you get that impression. So what's the Midas HaChasidus here that he never walked 4 Amos with an exposed head? When Pachos Mizeh, what's he saying? If Avol Pachos Mizeh, Af Midas HaChasidus Ein Bozeh. So let me correct myself. The language of the Magen of the Darki Moshe is as such, that Kisei Rosh Shalom B'Shas Tefillah is not Midina El Midas HaChasidus. Not the way we said it before. Now, it would seem that as far as Midas Chasidus is concerned, he should not walk 4 Amos Begili Rosh Shalom B'Shas Tefillah. That's the way the Ramah would understand this Gemara. Let's say he walks less than 4 Amos without wearing a yarmulke, without Begili Rosh. That wouldn't even be a Midas Chasidus. That's not even required by Midas Chasidus. However, the Magen Avraham in Siman Beis, he says Midas Chasidus requires that he shouldn't walk even less than Dalet Amos Begili Rosh. And Dalet Amos Begili Rosh is Asur Mi Ikar Adin. So that's interesting, whereas the Ramah puts all the Ikar Adin emphasis on Shas Tefillah, Shalom B'Shas Tefillah is Midas Chasidus. The Magen Avraham understood the way we initially understood it, that is a Midas Chasidus of Pachos Midalanas, but we're talking Shalom B'Shas Tefillah. Omer Rav Sheshes, Tasi Li, I deserve a reward, a pat on the back, because the Kaimis Mitzvah Tefillin, I wouldn't walk 4 Amos without Tefillin. V'yomer Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Tesili, the kiyamtis mitzvahs tzitzis. I wouldn't walk 4 amos without tzitzis. Okay, now, if you know, the thing about tzitzis is, as the Ritva points out here, it's a mitzvah which is called dikdukel v'chukosel legamrei, that, it's keneged taryag. And therefore, we should be careful about tzitzis. He has here 52. Let me just see if he adds anything here. He says that he never walked 4 hours without tefillin and without tzitzis. Okay, fine. That doesn't add anything to what we didn't know. Omale Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef prayed the Rabba Avuch. Your father, Rabba, B'mai Zor Tvei, what was he very careful about? Amalei says, B'tzitzis. And he tells the story, he says, Yom Echad Havikasolik B'dargo, he was climbing up a ladder, and Ifsikalei Chuto, so one of his Chutei Tzitzis got caught up in one of the rungs of the ladder, got ripped, V'lo Nochis, and he wouldn't come down from the ladder, V'yosa, Kamadilo Ramya, until he was able to replace that cut thread with a different thread. That's how much he was makpid on the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, is there a difference in tzitzis between standing in one place or walking? Now, the real question here is he lavush b'tzitzis? Or is he lavush in a beggar that has no tzitzis? It doesn't seem to make any difference as to whether he's walking or not. So we're not exactly sure here about this chumrah, this chassidus of Rabbah, that he wouldn't go down the ladder. Either he's wearing tzitzis or he's not wearing tzitzis. But there seems to be some emphasis here on halicha, that b'shas halicha, there's a special chiyuv, a requirement of tzitzis. V'yom Rabbi Tesili, my schar is the chichazina to Rami Rabbanan, the Shalom Esechte. When I see a Talmud Chacham, a young budding scholar who is finishing a Mesechta, here we turn to Daf Kuf Yud Tes Amid Aleph. Is Avidna Yom Tava L'Rabbanan. I make a suda, a special yontif as a siyum for the Talmidim. Now Abai was a Rosh Hashiva. Yom Tava means here in this context a Seuda. And why exactly does Rashi point out here that he was a Rosh Hashiva? So one of the Achronim says that Rashi intended to tell you that he was Mizaris the Talmidim. That was his job, to excite and get his Talmidim really committed. So by making this Seuda, that would enhance the general atmosphere amongst the Talmidim to finish a Masechta, to be Messiahim and make this outstanding celebration. Now there were those who did not themselves finish the Masechta, but yet they would take part in the Suda. That's clear from this Gemara, and that has implications during the period of the 9 days, that if you even you didn't finish a Masechta, but you participated in a Siyum, you're part of that Seuda. And that this could be the Makar, the source for the Minig of Yisrael, to make a Seuda and a Simcha when you're Messiah, and to invite others, even though they didn't be Messiah, to enhance and to participate in that Simcha. And the language here, Tesili, which means that Abai gets schar even though he didn't finish the Masechta, is Achiyuv lo hoya kol kach olav l'smach b'siyum, but mikol mekiv yosi yontif m'sameach mikiso u'mimomon. That according to strict law, he didn't have to have that level of simcha, that he'd have to dig into his pocket and spend this money to invite the Talmidim to a siyum. But he did so because he felt that this was the right thing to do. Omar Rava Tesili Maischar is the Chiyasa Tzumi Rabbanu Lekamoy Dedina. If a Talmud Chacham comes to me in judgment, Loma Zigna Reshe Abisaada Kamda Loma Hafcha B'schusa, I'm not going to lay down my head on a pillow. I won't go to sleep until such time that I've looked upside down, inside out, try to analyze and dissect. Maybe I can find some sort of zchus, some sort of merit in his actions, to find some sort of vindication and vindicate him. Because my love for Talmidei Chachamim, and I really want to be mezaken them and find a zchus for them. Of course, this leads to the obvious problem that if that be the case, then how could Rava even serve as a judge for those cases? He's inclined towards the opinion of the Tzumi Rabbana. And therefore he should be disqualified because of his great love for the Talmud Chacham. In other words, this doesn't sound like a fair judgment. So we're going to have to reinterpret this Gemara a little bit. It doesn't mean that Rava would rule in favor of the Tanakh Kama. Such a judge would certainly be excluded. But he didn't put off his consideration of the case until the morning. And, you know, let me put it in the back of my mind. I'll pick it up tomorrow. Immediately he set about to see if there were proper grounds to uphold the scholar's claim, and that's not enough to apostle him as a judge. And the Marsha adds that Rav exerted himself beyond the ordinary in order to discover the merits of the Talmud Chacham's claim. He never suspected the Talmud Chacham would act in violation of the law. Amar Mar Barav Ashi Pasilna Le Liturmi Rabbana Ladina. I cannot qualify as a judge in a lawsuit that involves a Turmi Rabbana, a young budding scholar. My time in the Chaviva like a gufai. I love him, he's dear to me like my own body. A person is not capable of seeing a wrongdoing in himself. It's impossible to judge oneself impartially. And therefore, Marva Ravashi felt that because of his love for Talmud Chacham, it would be impossible for him to judge impartially. So the Meiri suggests that Marva Ravashi did not actually consider himself technically disqualified as a judge if there was a rabbinic student involved, but he wanted to just portray his deep love that he would feel and that one should feel for Talmud Chacham. Whether or not he was qualified to try the case or not, that's a different discussion. This is just his way of expressing it. Rabbi Chanina mi'atif v'koy apanya demali shabsa. Rabbi Chanina would put on his clothing, misasef, in very beautiful clothing on Erev Shabbos when it was getting close to sunset. V'yomer, he would declare to his Talmidim, Bo v'netzei l'kras Shabbos Malka, let's go out and greet the queen, the Shabbos bride. Like a person goes out to receive a king. And it's interesting that the Rambam identifies Shabbos as Shabbos HaMelech. Here the Gemara calls it Shabbos HaMalka. Rashi in Bava Kama Daf Lamed Beis says that the Shabbos is called a Malka, because she's the Batzuga, she's like the bride of Knesset Yisrael. And that's clear in the Medrash Rabbah, that Yisrael are B'nai Malachim. But I'll be Kabbalah, there's a deeper meaning in the fact that Shabbos is called a Malka. But the Rambam goes up Yalach, and Shabbos is called a Melech. And obviously this minhag of Boichala became quite profound in the city of Tzfat some 5 centuries ago, and Alkabetz wrote his L'chadodi, and that's all part of Boichala. Rabba Bar Avhuna Ikla Lebei Rabba Bar Nachman, so he visits him and Kravele Tlas Save Tachye. Say they brought him a large amount, Tlas Sa'a, big volume of tachye. Tachye means when you dip something in oil. So these are kind of cookies, perhaps wafers, that were dipped in oil. And the question is, we don't usually eat mizonos that is fleishiks, But apparently these were special kinds of wafers that were prepared for Shabbos. It was obvious to everyone, based on the tzura, the way it was made, that it was specifically for Shabbos, and therefore it had the status of being fleishiks. It was dipped in oil, non-parva oil. No, we're not talking about vegetable oil, we're talking about fats and oil and fleishiks. Omalahu, now this was something very lavish, very expensive, and apparently Rabbah was very surprised. He says, Miavi adisun da sino? You knew that I was coming, that you prepared the special dish for me. I never told you I was coming. Omrulei miadifalon minon. Is the Shabbos more or less important than you? In other words, we prepared these loaves in honor of the Shabbos. We would have done it for you had we known you were coming, but we didn't know you were coming. Don't be surprised. We did it in honor of the Shabbos. And this is another example of how far we should go out, all out, for the sake of Kavod HaShabbos. Rabbi Abba Zovan Bitlesar Istire Pshite. Rabbi Abba would buy meat from 13 different butchers, and he would spend an amount of money which is called Tlesar Istire. Istire Pshite. Pshite, I guess, are common asterisks. So, I don't know, some sort of coin that was worth a lot of money, and he would spend that money. Maybe it's a seller's worth. And he would spend this on each of 13 different types of meats from 13 butchers in order to enhance his Shabbos meal, tasting from 13 different butchers. Probably there's a deeper significance here to the number 13. You know, connected the Midas HaRachmim of HaKadosh Baruch. In any event, he wanted to make sure that he got the best of the meat, so he would try out 13 different butchers and 13 different types of meat. Umashalim le atzinora didosha. And he would deliver it to his door. In other words, he had a chef in his house, so he delivered it to the door of the kitchen. V'yomalu, and he told all the servants and all the chefs, Ashur Chaya, which means hurry up, be energetic, and cook the food as soon as it arrives. In other words, because maybe I brought you this meat, but there's going to be more meat coming. So finish with this so that you'll be free to cook more meat. And once again, this is a clear indication of how far one should go for Kavod Shabbos, for Onik Shabbos, to prepare for the Shabbos. You know, all this exciting urgency about preparing this meat so that it could have more meat and different types of meat and so forth and so on. Rabbi Abba, Havi Yosef, Atachtoka, Deshina, he was sitting on a bench or a chair that was made from ivory. They took off today this is illegal, but they took off the chain of appeal, otherwise known in Hebrew as shinhav, in English as ivory, and umoshif nora. And he personally got involved in fanning the flames of the oven or the barbecue in order to make sure that everything was prepared for Shabbos. And this is really the beginning of the list of different stories about different Amoraim and how they personally got involved. They didn't rely on what we call the maidservant, what we call the pitzfrei in Yiddish. Did you ever hear the word pitzfrei? Fapitz means the beauty of fry is a woman. So this was a woman who was in charge. But he would personally get involved. And this is all, you know, a gemara that should be seen in the context of Kiddushin Daf Mem Aleph, which again tells us of the tirch of each one of the Amoraim for Kavod Shabbos, he didn't point to Shliach. Mitzvah Bo Yosef Mishlucho, that's the name of the sugya there in Kiddushin. And this is codified in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, Siman Resh Gimel. that even a person who has many servants, nevertheless he should try to do personally whatever he can, some at least minimum achana l'kavod Shabbos, and he should not rely on achirim. And usually a mitzvah that could be done by achirim is we're not mevatel Talmud Torah for such a mitzvah, let achirim do the mitzvah, but here in kavod Shabbos is more chomer and will be mevatel Talmud Torah in order to personally get involved in preparing for Shabbos.
Well, the mitzvah of kavod Shabbos becomes a mitzvah sheva gufo, and we're going to mevatel Torah for that mitzvah. And kavod Shabbos may be a mitzvah in itself, it's not just a hechsher mitzvah. And when we eat special foods, that's the mitzvah. Maybe the preparation of the foods is just a hechsher mitzvah. Maybe no. Even the preparation of the food itself is a mitzvah. And hachanas Shabbos should be done by himself, and that's a chiyuv gomur. Now, you may ask, what about the principle of Zokin Reini L'Chvichvodo, HaKavod Abiyos, Shedoches, Los Seshev HaTorah? Maybe for these great Amoroyim, it was below their dignity to involve themselves, you know, get down on, you know, into the, get their hands dirty in the trenches. And we find that by Hashavas Aveda, for example, we exempt someone, it's Reini L'Chvichvodo. But again, we're talking here about the highest level of Kavod Shabbos, and therefore that's not a chilul in any way. It doesn't desecrate the covet of the Talmud Chacham. It's quite clear that he's doing this l'kavod Shabbos. It's nikar. It's not like schlepping the sheep. Nobody knows why he's carrying a sheep in Rishus HaRabim. That which is l'kavod Hashem is not in any way undermining the covet of the person as a Talmud Chacham, etc. Rav Hanan, the Gemara tells us, lovish gunda. This was a special beged that he wore on Erev Shabbos, a black garment. And this is his way of telling everybody that today there's no chashivas. It's Erev Shabbos. We have to be osik b'tavshuli Shabbos. We're wearing our aprons, you know, we're wearing our darker clothing so that we don't have to worry about tinuf, about getting our clothes dirty. And that's what we have over here. Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael. He has the principle, Rabbi Yishmael, that Begadim Shebishal Bahem Kedera L'Rabo Al Yimzog Bahem Kos L'Rabo. That garments in which one is dressed when he cooks a pot for his master should not be the same as those when he pours a cup of wine for his master, because once he's cooked a pot for his master in those clothes, they become soiled, and now that he's getting close to his Rebbe, you know, to pour the wine for his master, he shouldn't be wearing soiled clothes. And therefore, we see that, you know, the chashivas is in those very clean clothes, but with regard to Erev Shabbos, you could wear these black garments because we're really getting down to Bishul and to cooking in honor of Shabbos. So in a sense, you could say that the Gemara is bringing some sort of a proof from Rabbi Shmuel that the garments that you wear for Bishul are metanef, you know, that's a tinuf, metanef, the begodim. And in terms of his askus, bikvot Shabbos, even though yislachu abgodim, he's going to be metanef his begodim. But because of chibuv ha-mitzvah, that's what he's going to do. Rav Safra, machrich resha. Rav Safra personally would scorch with a fire the head of a fish, or an animal. And that was all the Kavod Shabbos. Rava, Malach Shibuta, they had some special great fish that was called Shibuta. I don't know, today they're trying to figure out what that is. And he, Rava, would personally salt the fish for Shabbos. Rav Huna Madlik Shrugi would light the candles for Shabbos. Probably it means he didn't want to steal the mitzvah from his wife, but he would add extra candles that he would light some of the minhag of preparing the candles, and the wife will light the candles. And Rav Papa Gadil Psilta, he would twine or prepare the wicks for the lamps on Erev Shabbos, personally get involved in that. And Rav Chista Parm Silka, he would slice the beets for Shabbos. Rav Yosef Mitzalche Tzibe, they would split the wood for Shabbos, meaning for the fire of Shabbos. Rav Yizera Mitzates Tzitute, he would at least kindle the fire. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mekatefi oil, he would lift up bundles of different goods for Shabbos and bring them in, v'nofik, and he would take them out. So he would personally carry bundles of supplies in and out of the Shabbos to make sure everything was ready for Shabbos. And that's how he prepared for the great guest of Shabbos, Omar. And he said to himself, Ilu Mekalin li Rabbi Ami Rav Asi Milo Makatfinin Kameh, if Rav Ami and Rav Asi would come to visit me, would I not carry bundles and burdens in their honor? So Kovet Shabbos also deserves that same kind of honor. Yikad Yamri, we have a slightly different version of what went on. Rav Ami Rav Asi Makatfi V'Aili Makatfi V'Nofki, these great Tanoim would schlep bundles in and out Amri, and they would declare, Ilu Iklolon Rabbi Yochanan, if Rabbi Yochanan would show up as a guest, Milo Makatfinan Kameu, would we not, for his honor, bring in all these bundles and carry them? So for Shabbos, we should certainly do the same. Here's a very famous Agadah, a very famous story in the Gemara about Rabbi Yosef Mokir Shabbos. So he was known as the person who would be Mechabit Shabbos. What kind of reward was designated for him? Well, that's the story. Havihahu Nochri Bishvivuse. There was a guy who lived in his neighborhood, the Havi Nofish Nichse Tuviv, is very wealthy. Amile Kaldoi. Some say that he went to the astrologers and he had them look into the stars. And what they told him was that Kuli Nichse Yosef Mokir Shabbos Ochilu, that this Jew named Yosef Mokir Shabbos, he's going to consume your possessions. Now, he tried to avoid this, so he figured, you know what, I'll sink in all my money into one expensive pearl. Ozel Zavini L'Kuli Nichasi, he went this guy and he sold all his possessions, Zavin B'Maganisa, and with it, he bought a pearl, an expensive pearl. So he put all his money in this one valuable pearl. Osva Besaine, he placed it in his hat. He says here in the Hebrew, Osalo Kova Shal Leved, Vishivtso Vimishpitso Shal Zov, Vikovabo Margolios, Vikova Margolios Zuim Shar Margolios. So he had a pearl studded hat that was made out of gold. And that's where he put it. He hid this pearl that was so, so valuable. And Bahadi de Ka'over Mabra, when he was crossing a bridge, Afriche Zika, a very strong wind came along and blew off his hat, Shadye B'maya, and threw it into the water. Bale Kavra, a fish came along and swallowed this expensive pearl, Askua, and the Dayagim that were in charge of fishing, they went fishing there, and they brought up Aisua Apanya Demali Shabsa. They brought it to a market on Erev Shabbos, but it was getting very late. Amri, Man Zoven, where do we find someone who's willing to buy this fish at such a late hour? Kihashta, right before Shabbos. You know, the Jewish people go out and they buy the fish early on Friday. Amri Lu, but they were told, Zilu go, am to you, Legabe Yosef, offer it to Yosef, Mokir Shabsa, because he honors the Shabbos, and in fact, the Rogil, the Zovin, he would be in the habit of buying any delicacy that comes his way in honor of Shabbos, even at this late hour. Maybe you could still sell it to him. Am to ye Niela, and they brought it to him, Zavne, and he bought it, he purchased it. Kare, and after he split it open, Ashkech Be Marganisa, he discovered this very expensive pearl, Zavne, and he sold it, not on that Friday, but he sold it Betlesar Elisa de Dinre de Dava. He sold it for 13 attics full of gold dinars. Again, I'm not sure if this is an exaggeration. Sometimes the Gemara wants to make a point and embellish it, but it's so valuable, it's so expensive that you could fill up 3 attics worth of dinrei zov. I mean, that's beyond comprehension. Anyway, Pogabea Husaba, some elderly scholar, met Rav Yosef, and Omar, he says to him, Mandi Yosef Shabsa Pore Shabsa. Someone who borrows for the sake of Shabbos will be paid back for the money that he laid out. And that's one possible translation of the Gemara. And this seems to reflect the parish of Rashi. Now, let's just point out, just one second. The Marsha wonders what this number 13 is in the case of Yosef Mokir Shabbos, right? He sold it for 13 attics worth of gold, dinarim. And is this just an indication of multitude? I mean, it's not a round number. The Marsha wants to give more significance. And he says that this number 13 alludes to Kiddusha. For example, we find it with regard to the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, the Yud Gimel Midas HaShator Nidreshes Behem, a Bar Mitzvah is Chayav and Mitzvah at the age of 13. This is the special significance of Kiddushas 13. So when the Gemara says, for example, above, that Rabbi Abba bought meat from 13 butchers, you don't have to take that literally. It means 13 Kiddushos, for the Kiddush of Shabbos. And he looked for the number 13. The Marsha suggests that in the same way Yosef Mokir Shabbos made his practice to purchase before Shabbos in groups of 13, and therefore he was rewarded with 13 measures of gold coins. Now, what does it mean when the elder, the Saba, said to Yosef Mokir Shabbos that you borrow for the Shabbos? In fact, the Gemara says in Beitza that Mizonosif shall Adam Ksuvilo mi Rashis Hashana Vyad Akrashana Chutz mi Hotzah Shabbos. So the amount that a person spends for the covenant of Shabbos is not included in that limited number which was decreed for him on Rosh Hashanah as to how much money he would have in his bank account. But nevertheless, even so, a person has to sometimes lay out the money, he doesn't have liquid cash, in order to buy food for Shabbos. Now, he's allowed to borrow money, expecting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reimburse him. But God, so to speak, is the lova who's going to pay back the malva. And that's, in effect, what it means, borrowing. So let me read to you this footnote. Just one second. He says, Macho Kabbal Kivis and Josh and Elias and Mandazoev. Okay, that's what we have here. Boy Mine Rebbe, Mi Rabbi Shmoel, Rabbi Yossi. Ashirim Sheberit So Bamehim Zochim. How is it that some people in Eretz Yisrael was Zoche to Ashirus? Omalehem, Omale Bishvil Shema Asrin. because they take a tenth of whatever grows in their fields. And Shenemar, when the Torah says, Aser Tiaser, double language, Aser Bishvil Shetis Asher, special skula in being Mafresh Masros. And when we're talking about Masros, so it could be Master Rishon, it could be Master Sheni, Master Oni. Anyway, they were very, very careful about Masros. And that's not that a person should be careful in order to get this wealth as a reward. We don't do mitzvahs for the purpose of wealth, but nevertheless, they were zocha in wealth. Then Rebbe asks Rabbi Shmuel another question. The Bavel, we have some rich Jews in Bavel as well. They don't have the mitzvah of Masros, but Mame Zochu, how come they are rich? Omolei, what was their merit? Bishvil Shemechabdim is Torah. They had a tremendous respect for Torah. And therefore, they were rewarded by getting this wealth. Now Rebbe asks him a third question. Vashim Shebashar Ratzel, spread about rich Jews all over the world. Bameim Zochim, Omolei, Bishvil Shemechabdim Es HaShabbos. So maybe in Bavel, they had the ability, that was the center of Torah learning, to be Mechabe the Talmid HaChomim. But in other countries, every Jew has the ability to be Mechabe the Shabbos. And the reward is great, as we saw in Rabbi Yosef Moker Shabbos, and here in the response of Rabbi Shmuel to Rebbe. Now, when it says Aser Ti Aser, we're going to say that there's a double use of the word, and it says tithe, meaning be mafresh maser, so that you will tithe further. In other words, you'll have a necessity to go ahead and give more maser, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless you with added crops. Now in Bavel, as we said before, the Torah doesn't command you to be mafresh maser. But yet, there is a mitzvah of Maser Ksofim, and that applies even in Bavel. And you would think that maybe the blessing of wealth would come down to the Babylonians, and for that matter, maybe all Jews all over the world, for the schus of that mitzvah of Maser.